Go to Isaiah chapter 30.
Yes, you actually have a place to go now. Isaiah chapter 30, we'll be looking at verse 18.
Hi, I'm Russell. I'm the pastor here. So we start out with VBS here. Then I taught at youth camp the next week. And I was wondering, I was pushing myself to prepare four sermons in 2 weeks. Because I don't like coming back to having to prepare a sermon. And God knew what he was doing because, after that, and five of us, Heather's mother died, and then we had the funeral, and then five of us from church here went to help my son's church with DBS, and we were a real help. They needed it. They had 60-some kids, and their DBS was nine in the morning till noon. And so I think it really blessed the people that went, and I know we blessed them, because what people don't understand about our church, out of all the churches I've been in, this church is the best because I never have to worry about help. But most all churches, regardless of size, the church where my son's at is about the same size as our church. Bass Chapel's not normal. Everybody helps here. Every other church I've been in, it's hard to find help. So those five people that went really helped the VBS day. So in the middle of the VBS, Heather's dad died, and I would have come back if she needed me to, but we were all at peace on what was going on, and then we came back. But I know we have a good church here. And I know it's not about me. But thank you for ministering to my family and Heather. I knew you guys would. That wasn't an issue. And you guys are family. And so thank you. And thank you for the time off this week because I want to minister to you. I mean, last week, because I want to minister to you. But there's sometimes I just need to, one minister to my family first, always. But also just have a time to regroup. So thank you. Thank you for the cards. Thank you for the food and the meals. All of that, and I knew you wouldn't miss a beat because you guys are just wonderful. I appreciate Dan. Dan's sick today. He told me to let me know, but I'm just so thankful that I didn't have to worry about those things. And God in his economy, here I was doing four sermons in 2 weeks, having this sermon ready with all the stuff we dealt with, didn't have to worry about it. So God knew what he was doing. So, Thank you very much from Heather and our families. So those of us that are cool, and I know Lou shared his testimony, I haven't looked at it yet, and I hope you had a sensor, but I know it's good, and I want to look at it. But if you're cool like Lou and I, you'll know about the Mandalorian. If you're not, just know that I'm a geek. But some of you know Baby Yoda, whatever. And your VBS shirts, what's funny about that, they were doing the same VBS out at my son's church. And so we all wore Bass Chapel shirts, and everywhere I went in the town, and my son goes, well, it's because they're Mormons. Well, I'm not going to go with that. But everywhere we wore those shirts, people noticed them and looked at them. I want you to understand about the shirts. They explain the armor of God. But they're also something that, whether somebody knows Christ or not, they know the man. Whether they're a geek or not, they know Baby Yoda. And so this series I'm doing, it's not to geek you out, but if you follow the Mandalorian, they wear an armor, and they have a code, and they're saying this is the way. And a while back, Isaiah 30, this section of scripture that we're talking about, and we know that Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, I become all things to all men that by all means I might win some. And so what I'm doing is I'm taking something that people are familiar with and I'm pointing to God in his word. And here in Isaiah, he clearly says, this is the way you need to walk in it. The reason we call people lost, and whoever's calling me, that's weird. Oh yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to hang up on that one. However, but I'll talk to her later.
You have people that are searching, use the term lost. They're lost because they don't know the way. It's not because we're any better, those that us that have found the way in Jesus Christ, but the reason we use the term lost is they don't know the way. They don't know Christ. And so that may be you today. And those of us that have chosen the way, we struggle to hold on in these times. You talk to ministers or Christians, and it's like, I never thought I'd have to deal with that. Never thought I'd have to explain that. Or this family member or this loved one doesn't like this. Do I hold to the way? And we struggle to know the way. We struggle to hold on to the way. We struggle to live the way. And you can choose your way. Frank Sinatra, he did it his way. I hope he found the way. And that's the way of self, which is original sin, or you can choose the way. And also, spoiler alert, so it makes you feel good. Everybody keeps talking about the November sermon, the Thanksgiving meal that was 15. I can't tell. I never time my sermons. So if I've been away a long time, it could be a long one or it could be a short one. Strap in. But when I was out, my son's doing the sermon, filling in for him, giving him a break. I made him look good because I was preaching through the whole armor of God. I never time it. And they're like, you in 45 minutes. Like, made my son look good. So if you're, I don't know, we'll either get out soon or we won't, but it gives him time to fry that fish. But anyway, I thought that was hilarious. But anyway, you can choose your own way, which is to save yourself or go your own way, or you can choose the way, Jesus Christ. And so your action step is walk in the way. And your points are going to spell out the word walk. Let's look at the background here for Isaiah chapter 30. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, God said to Isaiah that his ministry would, if God had told me any church that I had been ministering in, if God had come to me and told me this, I'd be like, hey, can I go serve at McDonald's? But in chapter 6 of Isaiah, God tells Isaiah that his ministry would simply contribute to their blindness, to their deafness, and I like this, fatness of heart. Why would I want to go and minister to people that's going to make them more blind, not seeing the things of God, more deaf, not hearing the word of God? He's preaching it, but they're not going to hear it. They're going to get harder and harder. And then the fatness of their heart, the hardness of their heart, I'd be like, God, why are you doing that? And why are you putting me through that? Isaiah speaks God's word, but they wouldn't listen, and they became blind, deaf, and fat of heart. And in verse 2, which we're not looking at that, they're troubled. They're in trouble, the children of Israel. Now, we've talked about this before. How we all got to a personal relationship. First of all, starting in the garden with Adam and Eve. God told them not to do something. They decided to do it, so sin enters. Now we're separated eternally from God. No hope. And God begins to move in Genesis to provide a Savior and a way, and that's what the whole rest of the Bible is about. And so God moves from Adam and Eve to his plan and to Abraham. And through Abraham, the nation of Israel. And through the nation, and this is what we're talking about now. Isaiah is talking to God's people. And they're not any more special than anyone else. God chose to go through this and could have used anyone else. And when we look at Israel, God's people, that the Messiah came through, this is a picture of the true Israel, those of us that by faith accept Christ. And so you see what I'm saying? When we look at Israel, we can see ourselves in it. Follow God, sin, punishment, repent, this cycle of sin. And so right now, Israel is deep into it, and Isaiah is told he's going to go talk to people that aren't going to see, they're not going to hear, and their heart's going to be hardened. And they're in trouble. They're in physical trouble, the nation of Israel. And who do they seek? I want you to understand about Egypt. They seek Egypt in Isaiah 32, at 30, verse 2. And you can go back. This is the background of the section of Scripture. But I want you to understand what's going on here. Egypt always represents the world. It always represents the world's solution. And when you do not choose to follow the way, Jesus Christ, You're going to seek the solutions of the world. And I'm not trying to belittle anything, but how are those solutions working? They're not. So you got God's people, they're having trouble, and they're seeking the world solution to save them. Not against helping our environment and being good stewards of things, but when we just look for temporary solutions to eternal problems, it's not going to work. And so then, so they're in trouble, they seek the world solution, and in verse 9, they become rebellious children, and they wouldn't listen to God, and they don't want God's, they do not want God's intervention in their life. Sound familiar? Society today, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with God's people. This is Israel. This are those that are lost. This may be you, or we know this is the society we live in. You go to verse 11, that's so bad. They were so bad that they asked God to just stop being a part of their lives. I don't want to hear that stuff. Leave me alone. And God is a gentleman. They wanted to rid anything of the Holy One God out of their lives. Sound familiar? I think we're there. God's response, you see in verses 12 and 13, you're going to fall. I mean, that's the result without God. In verse 14, you're ultimately going to be destroyed. In verse 15, so God says, this is the result of your choice. Because God designed us. God designed us for a relationship with us. God is bringing his Savior to help us have that relationship again. And when we choose not to go with God, we're going to fall. And we're going to be destroyed eternally. So God, but I love verse 15. This is all in chapter 30. We're getting to 18, our focal passage. God offers them grace, but they wouldn't take it. God's putting the hand of grace out there saying, here, let me help you up, and they're slapping his hand. God's a gentleman. He says in Revelation that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. And all those funeral home pictures were where you see on their calendars or whatever. I didn't see it at the funeral home I've been at a couple of times recently. But they have a picture of Jesus knocking on the door. And if you notice on the famous painting, there's no doorknob on the outside because you have to choose to let him in. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. And so all they wanted to save themselves their way. So your first villain, if we're truly going to succeed in life, we have to walk in the way of God. Now, again, in the society that we're talking about, this next year we're going to really hit conversational evangelism hard. I taught it at camp. I've been working on it for a half a year. It's been like a fire hose to understand it, but we will do it slowly. But I want you to understand, when people say they believe in God and when they say they're a Christian, that's just the beginning of your conversation, because who is Christ? What is the gospel? It's not about the Baptist way or any other way. How there is one way, the Bible says, that someone comes to Christ. And there is one description of Christ, and it needs to be the biblical way. But I'm talking here, the way of God is the Bible way, the John 14:6 way. That I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Hope is on the way, and they cry out to God. So you go to Isaiah 30, and we're going to look at 18 in a minute, but 19 says this. Isaiah sees a day when all that will be changed, the people will cry out to God, and he will answer them with grace. And the people will live in Zion and Jerusalem, and you will never weep again. We can go from that, but you see that. Isn't that awesome that in the midst of this despair, in the midst of them slapping God's hand, that there's grace and there's hope? There will come a day. Isaiah 29:24 says this, those who are confused will gain understanding, and those who grumble will accept instruction. So the confused means the wandering will find the way, and the grumblers, the murmurers, the whisperers against God will accept his instruction, will learn his doctrine, will learn the right way, and they will gain understanding, they will gain discernment, they will gain knowledge. They will know God's way. They will know God's word. They will understand it, and it will lead the way. We're there. We're there on the fact of when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And you are looking at God's Word today. And that you can personally know Him as Savior. You can personally follow Him as Lord. And you don't need me or anyone else. We work together to help you in that. But you can personally follow the way of God and know this. God's response, we see, and we see God's way. So they've said, we don't have anything to do with it, is in Isaiah 30, 18. Therefore, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God, and all who wait patiently for Him are happy. The Lord is waiting to show us mercy and grace that is undeserved. He is active. He is rising up. He sent His Son to live a life that none of us could, and to die and pay for a debt that none of us could, that we owed, that none of us could pay, and to raise from the dead to give us hope. So God is active to show us compassion, that it's His kindness that leads to repentance, that He loves us, that He gave His only begotten Son. And the Lord is just. He is not fair, and I'm tired of hearing about fair. Get over fair. Nothing is fair, and life is hard, and it's not because of what we've been through in the past couple of weeks. I would have said that before. But we want everything to be fair. You do not want things to be fair, because they're never going to be fair. Because I don't see everything about your life, and you don't see everything about my life, and we do the best we can. You want God to be just, because God sees everything. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows what we do in secret. He knows what we do in public. And we need a just Lord that's going to judge rightly. All who wait patiently for the Lord will be happy. I'm so sick of people striving to be happy. You're never going to be happy. And what I'm trying to say, happiness is a fleeting thing unless the Lord has to do with it. If you look in the Bible, that is one of the rare points where you'll see the word happy. And look who gives you the happiness. God. Most of the time, you are hearing in the Bible about joy and the fact of peace, and none of them have to do with your circumstances. They have to do with who you're focused on, who is saving your life, who is in your life, which is God. And so we need to understand He's the one that's going to make us happy. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things will be added, I guess. And then last, we're blessed by the mercy of God. That means we deserve death, hell, and the grave. But when we choose what He's done, He chooses to save us. You go to verse 19, for the people will live on Zion in Jerusalem, and you will never weep again. And He will show favor to you in the sound of your outcry. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. Live in Zion in God's city and never weep again. God's showing His favor. He hears us with His grace as we cries out, and He answers it. And what does God's way give us? Look at verse 20. The Lord will give you meager bread and water during oppression, but your teacher will not hide any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher. Now, when you look at that verse, during your oppression, during those hard times, I think this name it, claim it theology, which is false from the pit of hell, is like, well, if you do good or if you give right, your life's going to be blessed. Well, how's that working for everybody? We all have things that we're going through, and we all will be in distress, and we'll all have pressure, but notice this. What are the basics of survival? Bread, water, basics. And I've had to learn Philippians 4:19. My God will supply our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Notice He says our needs, not our wants. And we serve an abundant God. More times in my life than not, He has provided for me abundantly. But I want us to understand, He's going to provide your needs in your time of distress. The Lord will be our substance in all times. The Lord will provide. And your next filling, walking in the way, means that He answers with grace. God has to answer us with grace because we deserve eternal separation and punishment away from God. His answer to us is grace. The only reason I'm here is the grace of God. Not from anything I've ever done. When I get to heaven, why are you here? Jesus. Period.
And so then you go on, and he answers in grace by giving us his word in all areas of our life. So we're saved, and a lot of us are like, well, I'm saved. I'm good with God. I've got my fire insurance, so I'm just going to chill out here. Really? Do you want to know God more now or later? You are free to struggle. You now don't struggle to be free when you accept Christ. And yes, we're going to mess up, but don't you want to know God more now? Wouldn't it be good, even though you're saved by his grace, that it's like when you see him, either when he returns or you go to be with him, hey, there's my friend. There's the person I know. Why else, when you know Christ, what other relationships, why would you not be building on that? And so he gives you grace in his word. Do you want to know him more now? And so verse 20, you see the last part of it, he says, your eyes will see your teacher. So I want us to understand what happens. A lost person, this is why you're very important. This is why it was important we did BBS here. This is why it was important that we did BBS out there. And the things that we do for ministry is the lost do not have the Holy Spirit. And God tells us in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, his last words are to go and to tell. Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, God's word, and I was very thankful. I saw a card, and Heather doesn't know this, but I saw a card on my desk from the Gideons, and they gave 6 Bibles in honor of her parents. That's God's word going forward that they can hear the gospel. And that word is powerful in itself. But Christians, God chose you with the Holy Spirit to tell the lost. There's a reason they're lost. Us men won't admit it. We'll sit and listen to a lady's voice on our phone that shows us where it is, but we won't listen to our wife on instructions, you know. I know where it is, and you're all different. If you're these north-southeast people, I remember one time we were remodeling a church. We were in my office that we're remodeling, and the guy goes, oh, put that over on that west wall. I'm like a landmark person. Oh, it's by that tree. You turn left on the road, and I know that drives half of you crazy. The other half, you get it. And I'm not trying to be mean. When Joplin had the tornado and everything was wiped out, all our landmarks were gone. At least you could see the other side of town. I'm not making light of it, but you're understanding, needing that teacher and needing that direction. That's what God's word does. He gives us the Holy Spirit when we're saved. And then we get into his word, and the Holy Spirit brings the word back so we can navigate this life. This grace enables us. He gives us the word of God to guide us through life, and he gives us the Spirit of God to remind us. The word is living. It's the written word of God. It sustains us during the times that we're oppressed, and he's not going to hide it any longer. What I want you to understand is in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. People, if they followed God, weren't all filled with the Holy Spirit. They had the Word of God. But since Christ has fulfilled everything, you that are saved, that have received Christ and his grace, that are following the way, you were filled and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit helps you understand the Word of God and helps you remember the Word of God. And so he will bring it back, but we need to hide it in our hearts, the written word. And he says, you will see the way. God's Spirit will guide us and remind us of the way and the truth, and the Holy Spirit will empower us. The Word of God is ever present, and it is ever present in all circumstances to show us the way. This is why you need to be learning the Word of God. This is why you're here today. This is why on Wednesday nights. This is why in your devotion. You need to be learning the Word of God. You will sit there and look at a map. Well, these are basic instructions before leaving Earth, God's Word. And I am convinced more than not that God's Word will guide you in every area of your life. And talking as your pastor, the key thing is we do as a church, the first question we ask is, what does God's Word say? I don't just ask that for the church. I ask it for my life. Because that's all I care about. Because that's God telling you, here, this is what I want you to do. This is what to do. And then you go to verse 21. And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever. whatever's going on in your life. Everybody here has something different going on in their life. And yet, notice he says, this is the command. Step here. Go here. Walk this way. So you won't trip. So you won't mess up. So you'll be a witness for me. And so it's a command for us believers that we need to walk in the Word of God. We need to walk in the way of God. And when we turn to God and follow His way, no longer will we be, He uses an example, no longer will be like a stubborn mule refusing to turn even when the bit is jerked in its mouth. And I haven't done much with mules. I don't really want to. But they've got to be difficult when they don't want to move. They're not going to move. All right? Now he says their spiritual ears will be open. They'll be sensitive. They will only need to hear the merest whisper in the ear to turn them to the right or to the left. How well are you hearing God? How well are you hearing God? And I'm not saying because you're not educated enough or whatever. It's all, where is God's word important? We all talk about, I don't know what to do. I am thoroughly convinced that everything we got going on in our life, God's word will answer. But what does he say about the internet? It doesn't have to be the internet. There are principles there that God will guide you. This is just technology, just using that as an example. You have got, I've had to learn to say, I don't want to say God told me, because I don't audibly hear the voice of God, not that he couldn't, but that hasn't happened to me. But when I read the word, and I want you to understand this, none of us have an excuse anymore. There's too much technology. There's too many good Bibles. You could go to the back of your Bible right now, and there'll be a subject list on different things showing you where Scripture is. But you need to be continually reading the Word. And I told you this, that all the Scriptures that I learned because there were things going on in my life. Well, that's a lot of Scriptures. But guess what? I'm 55 years old, and there was a lot of things going on in my life already. Okay? That I needed to know what God's Word is. And why did I memorize it? Because when I was struggling with something and the devil's tempting me or I want to worry or whatever the issue was, I need to go back to the Word. It says God's Word says this, so if I don't follow God's Word, I'm sinning against God. And over a long period of time, I was learning the spiritual habit of, this is what God's Word says, so therefore I'm going to obey it. I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm not going to put this here. Because Satan did this to Adam and Eve. He did this to Jesus. His question that he's always going to say to you, did God really say that? Well, how do you know if God said it, really said it, if you're not continually in his word? And notice what Jesus replied to Satan, and I learned this one a long time ago, Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I am really landing on this, because of the fact we need to be in God's Word. It needs to be in our DNA. We need to, there is no excuse. I know all of us learn differently. But there are so many great ways now to learn God's Word. And I will help you however I can. But how to whisper. I know us men have selective hearing. More than bad hearing. I remember one time I went to, I was at Sam's a while back, and I did the hearing test or whatever, and she's like, your hearing's really good. And I think the problem is, I did youth ministry for so long, and having to listen and see if kids were doing bad things in the back of the bus, or this is why we didn't do lock-ins anymore. Okay, sorry about that joke. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, I've had to learn just, okay, I would hear everything just to focus in on stuff, and Heather will be like, did you not hear that, or all this kind of stuff, And what I'm trying to say is you need to spiritually tune your hearing and you can hear God whisper. The way God works with me, I'm a processor and he has to tell me over time. But I've learned to hear him impress things onto me through his word, through God's people. And so you need to tune your ears to hear the whispers of God. The thought of the voice behind us as we walk in particular courage, and it's like a compass always pointing us north, the Spirit of God is constantly guiding us in the direction that we should walk. I think the problem is we're not asking God which way we should walk. I'm just going to go through there. You know? I appreciate my kids. I didn't ask for this example, but we've been having to move some things around at various houses, and I've got one kid that's like a bull in a china shop because his job, he works at UPS and he's doing this all the time. And older dad may be on the back end of something he's holding. He's just pushing me through. It's like, well, I'll be in the hospital getting a hip replacement or whatever. But so many times we try to do that. I'm just going to push it through. No. Get in God's Word. He's going to help you avoid those tripping up, those potholes. After the children of Israel had eaten the bread of adversity and drunk the water of affliction, their blind eyes would be opened, and they would see the true teachers. And whenever there's a tendency for us to veer to the left or the right, their deaf ears would be unstopped to hear the Spirit whisper, "This is the way, walk in it." Got a question for you today. What is God whispering to you? Or can you hear His whispers? And again, I want to be really careful. If you hear the voice of God, I'm not saying you can't, but you may need to be on some medication. I don't know. But what I can know that how God works is, first of all, if you don't know Christ, I'm speaking the word to you. So this is what His word says. But if you do know Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. So now you need to read His word so the Holy Spirit can speak to you through His word and remind you. And so, how well are you hearing the whisper of God? If God's commanding us to follow His way, we can hear His voice in all situations. Then we need to, here's your next point, learn to hear and follow the way. This is your whole life. And it can be as quickly as you decide to do it. That I'm not saying people are not already, but you need to keep attuning those hearing. Because here's what Satan's going to want you to do. He's going to want you to focus on, I call them the yapping chihuahuas of life. They're at your feet biting or whatever. He wants you to be distracted so you can't focus on God. This is why I've learned verses like 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I decided to concentrate only on Christ Jesus and His death on the cross. This is why I've learned Isaiah 26:3, He will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on Him. Romans 8:4, we need to choose. Our choice is to walk in the way, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Romans 8:4 says this, in order that the law's requirements should be fulfilled in us, we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We make a choice to walk by the Spirit. We need to first accept and receive Christ. Ezekiel 11:19 says this, I will give them integrity of heart. I will put a new spirit within them. I will remove their heart of stone from their bodies and give them a heart of flesh. God has to give us a spiritual heart transplant. Our hearts are hard against Him. He gives us a new spirit. He gives us integrity of heart. And He removes our sinful heart. And then Ezekiel 36:26 says this again. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Following and walking in the way of God will make us new. According to 1 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Our rebellious spirit ends and God saves us and begins to change our heart and we're perfect. No. But we don't struggle to be free. We're free to struggle. Now we're free to have a relationship. Now we're free to follow God. Walking the way of God helps us see clearly. The people of Israel and those of us that receive Christ will no longer be driven from Him by adversity and affliction. Rather, their spiritual eyes were open to see all that He is teaching them through these experiences. I want you to understand how this works. What we're doing here today is biblical. Us meeting together, Hebrews says, even more as you see the day approaching, do not forsake this. We need each other. The church are the believers, the body of Christ. Not a building, not an institution, but it is an institution established by Christ in the New Testament. It is the people of God, the believers of God. And we are designed a body that we need each other. But God can help you individually. But also, all of us need each other to sharpen each other, to guide each other. I would not be in this pulpit and be here today if it wasn't for brothers and sisters of Christ that have helped me stay on the path, individually and as a pastor. So we need each other. God will open their eyes to walk in the way. All Scripture is useful in all areas of life, so we need to read it. We need to memorize it. And some Christians, I'm going to put quotes, are like big fat dog tits, or like or Paul said, big fat babies, where they eat all the word, they know all the word, but they don't apply any of it to their lives. Wow. Paul really hit that. He said, you should be on porterhouse steaks now, but you're still drinking milk. I don't care what you know of God's word, how much of it are you applying to your life? I didn't say perfection. So the word is a witness, and notice he says, in all things that he is going, that helps us to maneuver the ups and downs of life to know which way to go. So many times, as a minister, I have people telling me, I need to know what to do. And I always usually give them Psalms 25:4. Show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Lead me along the road I should travel. God's way is key in that. All scripture is given to us, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 19. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You need to have the Bible on you. Yes, I'm not wearing mine today, but I got a Bible on here. I've got a Bible on my phone. You need to have that accessible. You need to be looking at it. You need to have it in your life. And your everything in your life, I'm saying it because it's biblical. You need to ask the question, what does God's word say? And if you're not sure, stand pat where you're at and find out. But either you have a biblical worldview or not. And we are called to say, I'm going to run my life according to God's word. And so your last fill-in, walking God's way means keep walking in the way. A lot of times people are like, well, I got saved. But then what do you do with Psalms 119:11? Your word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against God. What do you do with Psalms 119:105? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What do you do with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it talks about the word of God and following us? We do this by praying and obeying, and in his grace, God plans a new future for his people when we pray and obey. So I got some questions for you today. First of all, you know, God gives us grace for those that wait. And he calls us to pray, and he calls us to obey. And so I've got a question for you today. If you don't know Christ, the first prayer he's going to hear is, save me. We're going to have a time of invitation in a moment. I encourage you to do that. I think most of us know Christ, but where are you at in walking in the way? Well, I do good in the big things, Pastor. I mean, look at it. I'm here. I showed up, whatever. But I have areas that God's working on me. And God's a gentleman. I remember Billy Graham had this thing, and we went through here, My Heart, Christ's Home. And he talked about Jesus going into the home of your life, and you got all these rooms. And Jesus is a gentleman, and he'll wait in the lobby of your house or whatever, your entry room, that you have to invite him further into your life. And I'm convinced every one of us here, in one area of our life, need to turn and walk in God's way further. Whatever that is, if you need to hit this altar and pray, whatever you need to do, I encourage you to do this. Now, Pastor talks about it all the time. He hits it all the time. I know he knows the Word of God, and we need to memorize it. Let's just get real here. It's not about what I do. Either God's Word is your sustenance. You need to figure out, and you need to start some baby steps, and you need to, for a month, start a habit of either memorizing God. I will help you however you need to. I'm sorry. There's too many apps. There's too many Bible studies. Nobody that is a believer of God does have excuse not to consistently study the Word of God on their own and to memorize it and to learn it, because you need to be prepared to use it. I don't know what God's calling you today. The altar's going to be open. I'll be here for you, and we'll have a time of invitation. So as we stand on our feet, Holy Spirit, you say we're two or three gathered together, there you will be also. I pray, however, we need to be obedient, but we'll be obedient to you today. In your name, Jesus. Amen.